You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, I could be wrong, Brock, but I believe it's been 13, 14 years since Rich Eisen has been on the station. I think I remember the last time he was on the station. It was in person at Seahawks Weekly at, I want to say, the Old Joey in Bellevue. I could be wrong about that, but I was hosting.
Your memory right now?
Huh?
That's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good. He joins us right now, acclaimed radio host, television host, everything in the world of sports. Rich Eisen joining us. Hi, Rich. Good morning.
How are you doing? Good to chat with you. How's it going?
Do you remember that time at Joey's 14 years ago with Salk? Because I don't.
No. I don't. But listen, I appreciate being geotagged. I appreciate it. That's pretty cool. But I'm happy to be back on, though.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it.
Yes.
Of course.
How did you handle yourself and control yourself up in that press box in Indianapolis with 18 Wolverines working out at the combine? 18 Wolverines, Rich. How are you such a pro?
Well, you know what? I don't know how much I controlled myself. Anytime the number 18 came up, whether it was, showing the statue of Peyton Manning outside of the building, or anytime a 1 and an 8 came in the same sentence. But in all honesty, it's just awesome to watch every year the combine get bigger, stronger, and faster. And clearly I have my own personal allegiances. And it's just been one Georgia/Alabama with 1 year LSU bursting through parade of SEC stars and a ton of Ohio State players. So to see 18 block M's up on the NFL Network screen was great. And obviously Harbaugh back in the building as an NFL head coach. It's just an interesting time, obviously, to be a Michigan Wolverine. But just in general, the NFL just over the last week, 10 days, just proved again it's one of the greatest narrative-generating machines, that you can't make stuff up. And Seattle's obviously right in the middle of the mix of all of this, since they are, along with New England, a question mark for a lot of people, because just flat out moving in a different direction from the head coach that has been such an identifier for the franchise. And that is where, fortunately for Seattle fans, the analogies diverge, because Seattle's obviously in a much better position roster-wise, quarterback-wise, than New England entering the next phase. But it is just fascinating to see so many different teams and making changes so far.
What do you make of the Seahawks' decision to move on from Pete?
Shocking. Everything that I heard was no few people expected it, even in that building. Just surprised by it. He's such an identifier for the franchise. I just remember when, it could have been the year that I was, I guess, last on this station, just trying to figure out the timing of it. But I remember we did a Thursday night football game in Seattle. It was the one where the Eagles came through and Andy Reid was at the end of his tenure with the Eagles, and the Seahawks just beat him up. And we were wondering who to invite onto our Thursday night set post-game on NFL Network to interview, and we wanted Marshawn Lynch. He declined. And so the only other choice, because there really wasn't anybody with a bold-faced name, if you will, on that roster that to invite. So we had Pete come on, and Pete did come on. And amongst the shower of Skittles raining down on our set, I remember asking him, what's the identity of this team? We had no idea. This is, pre-Russ and pre-Legion of Boom, where the Legion of Boom was just forming. And, you know, he talked about, you know, his usual mantra of always compete and defense and running the ball and having a power game and things of that nature. But he was essentially the identity of this franchise the minute he strolled off of campus at USC and into the Pacific Northwest. So it's just jarring to not see him there, bouncing the world, you know, being the world's oldest teenager, which is a phrase that, we had some of our comedians come on our show and mention. So it really was fascinating to see the big change.
So they couldn't have changed anymore, right? They go from, you know, the 72-year-old to nearly a teenager, 36-year-old Mike McDonald, a guy that you know a little bit from his year as a D coordinator there at Michigan, and a guy that you've seen obviously have a ton of success in Baltimore as their D coordinator. I love that word identity. And as you spit that word out, and Pete didn't know it then, and we don't know exactly what this is going to be with a first-time head coach, but if you were to put the pieces together with his background and what you do know of Mike McDonald, what do you expect the identity of this 2024 and beyond Seahawk team to look like under his leadership?
Great question, but I don't think it's going to change very much. They're going to just try and road grade, dominate the line of scrimmage, and play tough defense. Try to limit the turnovers on offense, make the plays down the. I don't think it's going to change very much, to be honest with you. But who knows? I do not know. It's the NFL. Things change. People may surprise you. But I honestly feel like they should be better on offense. That's for sure. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is insanely talented, and the team barely scratched the surface on what he could do. Running the ball is going to be another forte for them, clearly. And I don't think it's going to change very much. The only question is, you know, how long does Geno have the gig there and what's going to be the next step? Should that be, Seattle's plan to maybe move on in short order? I don't think Penix is going to be available for them when they draft. I don't believe.
Really?
Yeah, I think Penix will be gone way before. I think Penix will have a shorter night than people expect him to have in Detroit. I wouldn't be surprised if he turns out to be a Raider. It'll be fascinating to see what happens if he's available at 12 for Denver. It all depends, obviously, where J.J. McCarthy goes. My colleague, NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah, said in his latest mock draft he thinks the Vikings move up to 4 to get McCarthy, which would lead Penix to sit on the board for a whole host of quarterback needy teams to go get. So I don't know, but my you know, long-winded answer now, I think it just comes down to McDonald coming from the Harbaugh mentality, from the Ravens mentality, and obviously that dovetails a lot with what Pete did.
You know, Rich, Brock had asked you about restraining yourself during all the Michigan Wolverines at the Combine, but we heard you talking about Penix, and it sounds like you essentially fell in love at the Combine. I mean, he was tremendous, and I know you were super interested in watching him there. If he goes before the Seahawks pick at 16 and the other four, including McCarthy, go before 16, if you're the Seahawks and you do think you need a quarterback and you're not sold on Geno long-term, would you consider Bo Nix at that spot, or do you think that they've found something in Sam Howell that is enough to keep them from needing to draft a quarterback in this draft?
Yeah, I think Sam Howell's addition takes the pressure off them of trying to find a quarterback now. I mean, Sam Howell has an entire year's worth of experience now in his repertoire, and also he got his ass beat. I mean, I thought he was impressive at times. And we just, in the NFL, it's just like, if you don't flash like Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow right off the bat, you're officially garbage and a bust. I mean, it's kind of getting crazy right now. I had Jared Goff on my show during the year, and I asked him, I'm like, you're perfect person to ask, how long do you think a quarterback should get for, you know, to marinate and to prove his worth in the NFL? You know, a highly drafted quarterback or any quarterback, how long do you think you should get? And he said 4 to 5 years. And in the NFL these days, I mean, I'm having Kurt Warner on my show today, and, you know, I had this whole conversation with him in London last year when we were with the Titans and Vrabel. We just sat down with Vrabel for the broadcast, Ravens and Titans. And I asked Vrabel towards the end, I'm like, you know, how's Will Levis looking? And he shrugged. He's like, your guess is as good as mine, because we don't get the practice reps for him. Like, he doesn't get the reps, and we don't have the time for the reps. And the way the NFL works these days is there's the feeder system is college football. There's no, you know, I mean, in the spring leagues are kind of back now. We'll see how legit that is in terms of developing quarterbacks. I mean, the Europe league and all that is gone, and that's what Kurt Warner had to get him ready for his, you know, life-changing moment that they made a movie out of when Trent Green went down. And he said without all of that development, he would never have been ready for that moment. Mm-hmm. So quarterbacks are, like, coming out of college. They don't get a ton of reps. You know, right now, like, if Sam Howell was still on the Commanders, they would not be able to have him in the building right now for the new head coach and for Cliff Kingsbury to coach him up. Right now, Seattle does not have their hands physically on Sam Howell until April, and that's just the way it works. So that's my long-winded way of saying if Sam Howell's the guy this year for Seattle and they don't draft one, it's not like Sam Howell's trash and that he has no chance of becoming a really good quarterback in this league or a playoff winning or a Super Bowl winning one. Mm. I mean, Justin Fields right now, the whole conversation is look at the bag of balls that Chicago got in return for Justin Fields. So that is the way for the NFL to show that they feel Justin Fields is less than or not a starting quarterback in this league. It's just a crazy way of evaluating quarterbacks now in our world. So if Penix is not there at 16, Seattle will have a whole host of really, really terrific football players to choose from, whether it's offensive line, wide receiver, whether it's some of the defenders that are out there in this draft. Because if the way the top of the draft goes, you know, mock way in reality, the first defender may not be off the board until pick 7 or 8. I mean, Atlanta might be able to just stick and stay and get their choice of any defensive player in the draft. And that just keeps pushing more and more talented players down for Seattle to choose from, best available. So if it is Sam Howell backing up Geno, then that's not that bad. And Bo Nix might be available on night 2. So let's see how that one plays out.
Rich, I know you got to get running to your show as well. Last little minute here, because that Penix is so intriguing. You know, we bring scouts on here and Matt Miller and other guys like, he's second round. Lance Erline, he's probably going to be a second round. Like most of the conversation, at least from the scouting guys, have been a whole bunch of second rounds still on Michael Penix. I think you're the first one on these airwaves here in this town that got people pretty darn excited. Is that what you are hearing, or is that just your gut and your experience of doing this for so long with Michael being not available at 16?
I will go gut and experience on that one. I just know quarterbacks get pushed up. And listen, I know he's 24, and I know he's got an injury history, and I know it's just like, well, he was talented in Indiana, but he didn't look the way, you know, he looked in Indiana that he did in Washington. And again, it's just a development of quarterbacks. I'll tell you this, man. He scared me on national championship night. Him and Rome Odunze scared me. And I think Penix got a taste of what it's going to be like to play in the NFL when he played Michigan's defense, to be honest with you. and he probably saw coverages he's never seen. And that caused him to struggle. But I think, you know, pre-snap, neck up, this kid is really, really sharp. And that's what you need in the NFL. That's what you need. And then throwing the ball, nobody threw it like him at the combine. That's for damn sure. I mean, everything looked like, I might even have said it on the air, like he's going to be a perfect NFL Films quarterback, because that spiral is tight. And they'll zoom straight in on that one, because it spins when it comes out of his hand in a way it just doesn't out of so many others. And I'm not, you know, some sort of scout or an expert. I could just tell it when I see it, how it looks different. And it did. And, you know, I don't know him. I've never met him. I've heard only great things about him when it comes to that. And so you put it all together, and if you need a quarterback and you see what you see on tape and you're really impressed by what you see in person and the coaching staff falls in love, that's how you're not a second-round pick. That's how you go the first night.
Yeah, this is good. I'm really glad. It's been awesome talking to you. I will admit, a little bittersweet. When we first started saying, hey, we should get Rich Eisen on, it's because we were still under the impression the Seahawks might be able to get J.J. McCarthy, and that's now – I think probably a dead dream for a team at 16 without a second round pick and only one third. But just very, very quickly, because we have to go, and I know you do as well. How good is J.J. McCarthy going to be in the NFL?
Oh, man.
That's a good answer. That's probably all we need, to be perfectly honest.
Listen, it's all a crapshoot. It really is. Look at the 2021 draft class right now.
Right.
Last draft that started quarterback, three in a row. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is 10 games under 500. That's a lot. Has to do with Urban Meyer being a dumpster fire. But, you know, and Zach Wilson is still a Jet because they just don't want to cut him. We saw Trey Lance get traded for four. We saw what just happened with Justin Fields, and Mac Jones is now backing up the guy who was drafted 14 picks in front of him just 3 years in. So, I just laugh because the kid, when we were sitting there at the combine in the booth and, you know, Daniel Jeremiah asked him before he went on the air, he goes, how many games did you lose in high school? He said one. So, you know, he lost one game in college, one in high school. The kid's just a winner, and he's just a winner of a kid too. He's just got his head screwed on right. And, you know, all you got to know is like, For in this day and age where there's transfer portals and NIL and all that business and a lot of you know, kids can get turned around by that. He's a kid who hands it off 32 straight times against Penn State and just keeps going on. And it's like that's a win, you know. That's a win. Let me put on my bet T-shirt and go try and crush it the next week. And so, you know, that kid. We'll get a free dinner where any other Michigan Wolverine is in the restaurant the rest of his life. So clearly I'm biased when it comes to him, but he's also only 21 and he just turned 21. He's engaged, so he's not going to be out, you know, doing stupid stuff. Like, he's exactly the dream that you want. So I'd go get him if could in the draft.
That's really great. That's like awesome. That. Really, really nice to hear. There's no way that's going to happen now, but that's really nice. So thank you for kind of breaking our hearts and ending this on a sour note. No, Rich, seriously, thank you. This is great. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it,
thank
guys.
You, Rich.
All right.